May 16th. I got actual mail in the mail today. That hardly ever happens anymore. I get a few birthday cards every year, a handful of Christmas cards, and that's it. But today's mail brought 3 hand-addressed envelopes. At least they look hand-addressed, Daryl said as he put them on the kitchen table where I had just sat down to eat lunch. These days, computers do a pretty good job making an address look like an actual person wrote it. I actually think this trick on the part of marketers should be punishable by jail time, but maybe that's just me. Flipping through the stack in front of me, I saw that 2 of the envelopes were made of that thick, creamy paper that usually signals a wedding invitation or a high school graduation. Both of them had St. Petersburg, Florida postmarks. The other was small and white, the address written in a girlish script. The return address was Cottage Street, Milton Falls, which was a couple blocks from the downtown district. I decided to open the small one first and pulled out a small note card with a lovely little watercolor of a tree on it. "Dear Aunt Marnie," the note inside began, "just a quick note to say thanks for making room for me at Thimble Pleasures. I know it's Mom's shop, but I also know that Mom runs all of her decisions past you, so you must have given me the thumbs up. You won't be sorry, I promise. XOXO, Emily." Okay, so is it terrible that my first thought was, what's that girl up to? I know that's wrong. I know I should have read Emily's note and thought, how thoughtful. She's turned a new leaf. That much is clear. And I'd really like to think that she has. I really would. At the same time, this wouldn't be the first time that Emily has pledged to be an upright citizen, the girl who won't let you down no matter what, only to, well, really let you down. Or more to the point, really let Sheila down. My mind is filling up with the sort of stuff my mother used to say in these situations. Only time will tell. The proof is in the pudding. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Janet and I used to make such fun of her every time she dropped one of these gems. But I have to admit, there's some truth to them. For Sheila's sake, I'm going to take Emily's note at face value. I'm going to believe she means what she says. I'll believe it until she proves me wrong. How's that for a compromise? On to the creamy envelopes. I felt like I should use a monogrammed brass letter opener with these guys, but I didn't have one handy. Okay, I don't have one at all. I opened the first envelope and a single card fell out. "I've moved," it shouted at me in a sprightly purple type. Who moved? Ah, Jessica's mom Abby had moved. But where? Had she relocated permanently to Florida? Is she moving to Spain, as she's often threatened to do? She claims that Spanish men really know how to appreciate older women. Or perhaps it's St. Edward's Island, where she often goes in the summer and has talked about buying a second home. So where was it going to be? I read on, and my mouth fell open like Marley's on Christmas Eve. Abby is moving to Milton Falls next week. Why hadn't anyone told me this? Why had Daryl and I been left out in the dark? Did Jessica fear we'd launch a defensive strike? Build a wall around the city's perimeters? I grabbed my phone and texted Sam. Abby's moving here? Why didn't you tell me? It was almost as though Sam had been waiting for my text. His reply came back seconds later. We didn't know. We just got her change of address card this morning. Even though Sam didn't use a single emoji, I could feel his panic. I'm sure it will be great, I texted back. Another grandmother on the ground. ready to help with the boys and the new baby. This time I got an emoji, a little face with a straight line instead of a smile. The emoji that said, basically, I am numb. That was followed by another text. Did you get the invitation too? I almost texted back, what invitation? But then I remembered I had another card to open. Was Abby getting married to old What's-His-Face? But no, that wasn't it. It was the baby shower / cocktail party that Abby promised to throw. It's going to be Friday, June 19th at 21C, Milton Falls' so-called art hotel. Cocktail attire only. Got it, I texted back. Sounds like fun. It's going to be a nightmare, Sam replied. But a fun nightmare, I insisted. Could you guys come over to dinner tonight? Sam texted. In fact, could you guys bring us dinner tonight? Sure, I wrote. Tell me what you want, and we'll make it happen. Would it be too much to ask for lasagna? Never too much, I texted back. Okay, maybe it's a little too much, but I get it. Sam and Jessica's life is about to be turned upside down. Nothing but a serious infusion of carbs and melted cheese will help. May 17th. We arrived on Sam and Jessica's doorstep at 5 last night, a lasagna and 2 bottles of wine in hand, plus a loaf of crusty bread and some nice cheese, and a Tupperware full of mac and cheese for the boys. We forgot about a salad, but no one was going to eat salad anyway. I made 2 pies, Jessica said when she opened the door, and 3 dozen chocolate chip cookies, plus butterscotch pudding. Have I mentioned that Jessica is 5'9 and can eat whatever she wants? She's gained a little weight with this pregnancy, but not much, and it's all front and center. More evidence that life isn't fair. I gained 40 pounds with Sam and 50 with Kate, and the weight was generously distributed in all directions. We went to the kitchen and got plates ready for Taylor and Tyler so they could eat and then go watch TV while the adults discussed our impending doom. Okay, I need to stop that. I did my best to stop it at dinner because it wasn't helping anyone to talk smack about Abby. Listen, my mom is great, Jessica started as we started dinner. She's not a villain, but she's got boundary issues. Like the way she showed up out of the blue a couple weeks ago. It didn't occur to her that we might like some advance notice. So imagine what it's going to be like with her living here, Sam added. He turned to me. I was thinking maybe you could take her to your guild, get her interested in quilting. I've noticed that when people get into quilting, they kind of get addicted to it, and it takes up most of their time and attention. I took a deep breath before replying. Sure, honey, I'd be happy to do that. Or maybe Dad can take Abby to the Modern Guild. She might like being around younger people. Daryl shot me a dark look and then turned to Sam and smiled. If Abby's interested, she's welcome to tag along with me. I'm curious, though. Is Billy moving with her?
They broke up, Jessica informed him, 2 weeks ago, although today was the first I'd heard about it.
Was he... I paused, wondering how to phrase this politely. Was he supporting her? Like, was he her sugar daddy? Jessica asked with a hint of a smile. Sort of, but not entirely. Mom has been doing some modeling over the last few years. She says she's part of the silver wave, chic older women fashion trend. I also think she's been pretty smart about investing. Still, it would be good if she got a job, Sam added quickly. A busy Abby is a better Abby. Daryl reached for the breadbasket. Has anyone figured out why she's moving here? I mean, why she's really moving here? Is it just because of the breakup?
She says she wants to be closer to me and to the boys, Jessica said, giving a who knows sort of shrug. People change, right?
Sam gave Jessica a look. Jess, you know that's not the real reason.
I don't know that's not the real reason, Jessica shot back, her voice tight. Then she sighed. Okay, there might be another reason as well. When she was here last time, she met a man.
A very wealthy man, Sam added.
Have you ever heard of Tom Grangerfield? Jessica asked us. He's the CFO of the Grangerfield Risk Management and Insurance. Very handsome and very available.
Not for long, Sam muttered. More loudly, he said, the good news is, if Abby is after Tom Grangerfield, she won't be all that involved in our lives.
Suddenly, Jessica looked sad. It would be nice if she were a little bit involved in our lives.
Sam put his arm on hers. Of course it would. What we're looking for here is the right balance.
Jessica nodded glumly. We've never really had that. It's either too much or not enough.
I bet that will change now that she's moving here, I said brightly. Of course, we'll do whatever we can to make her feel welcome. Won't we, Daryl? Daryl nodded. We'll do our best. Walking out to the car, he turned to me and said, this isn't going to end well, is it?
I really doubt it, I said, but I crossed my fingers all the same.
May 23rd.
I'm writing this at 4:30 in the morning.
Usually, when I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, it's because I'm worried about one of the children. But right now, it's because I'm worried about a quilt. Specifically, I'm worried about the quilt I started 3 days ago, my show quilt. With so little time left to submit, I decided I need to go with my strengths, and one of my strengths is whimsical appliqué. The problem is, while the quilt is shaping up to be absolutely adorable, I'm not really feeling it.
What do you mean you're not feeling it?
Sheila asked when we met for lunch at Linway. We'd both ordered kale Caesar salads as part of our annual summer health kick. Of course, the best part is the bread basket that comes out ahead of the salad, though we prefer to call it the healthful grains basket. I pulled a roll in half and took a whiff of its heavenly yeasty smell before answering. You know how it is when you're working on a quilt you love? How you wake up in the morning thinking about it, the way you used to wake up thinking about your big crush back when you were in high school.
Sure, Sheila said, nodding. It's exactly like being in love, though with fewer regrets.
Exactly, I echoed her.
Even though I can objectively say this quilt is really cute, verging on delightful, I just don't have that in love with it feeling.
Sheila popped a piece of pretzel bread into her mouth.
That's not good, she agreed. It really is like dating a guy who you know is great. He's nice, he's funny, he's good looking. But the feeling just isn't there, at least not for you.
That's a guy you should break up with, I said, thoughtfully chewing the second half of my yeast roll. It's not fair to him to stay in the relationship.
It really isn't. So I guess my question is, are you leading your little darling applique quilt on? Are you making promises you just can't keep?
I'm not going to finish that quilt, am I? I asked, leaning back as our waitress placed my salad in front of me.
You're not going to finish that quilt, Sheila replied.
Never? The waitress asked as she set down Sheila's salad. Well, I never say never, I told her. At least not at first.
I'll fold it up neatly and put it in a zippered bag that I'll store in my sewing room closet. I'll take it out at least once a year for the next 5 years and think, "This is cute. I should really finish it." Then I'll spread all the pieces out on the table and admire them. And then, 2 days later, I'll put them back in the zippered bag and put the bag back in the closet. "What happens after 5 years?" the waitress asked. "I'll take it to my guild and put it in the orphan's box with the hope that someone else will finish it and find it a good home." "Sounds like a good system," the waitress said. "Enjoy your salads, ladies." It was good to make the decision to give up on this quilt, even though it would have made a perfectly acceptable entry into the quilt show. I was totally on board with that decision, until 4:30 a.m., when I woke up and told myself to give the quilt a second chance. After all, I was two-thirds done with the top, and it was a lap-sized quilt that I could quilt up myself in a day or two. I got out of bed and went down to my sewing room. I took the quilt out of its zippered bag, where I'd put it after lunch. I laid it out on the table. It was as adorable as I remembered, covered in appliqué owls wearing glasses and sitting in hollow trees. Each owl was a different color, as was each tree. The whole thing was utterly delightful. I'm writing this at the kitchen table, drinking chamomile tea, hoping to go back to sleep soon. I'm here to tell my future self, the self of later today, that I do not love this quilt, and I will never love this quilt. I need to let it go. And then I need to figure out how to make a quilt that's ready 9 days from now. A quilt that I will be utterly in love with. Easy peasy. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.